Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this week's Property Lovers podcast, we're going to look at property gold, those elusive low and no money down deals. It's all in the deal structure. You may have heard of developers doing deals via options. Options are a way that you can structure a deal whereby you have the right to purchase a property at a certain price, but not the obligation. Developers love it because they can go through council, they can get all their ducks in a row, all the time-consuming work without hemorrhaging the money of holding a mortgage and paying monthly costs in interest. That's just a waste when it's outside of your control. Things like council can take however long it takes. But by the same token, you don't want to go to council, and indeed you can't go to council unless you have some right to buy the property. So that's what an option agreement is. It gives you the right to buy it. It means you're not sinking money into an asset, getting a DA when the seller can sell it out from under you. It allows you to lock in a price, to lock in a purchase, to buy yourself some time, say a year, and to use that time to uplift the property and get things organized so that when you do actually buy it and settle, then it's plain sailing. You can hit the ground running. And if you hit a roadblock during that period, then you're not obliged to go ahead with the purchase of the property. That sounds good. Then in this episode, let's meet the master of options and creative finance, a member of our community, Andrew. Andrew, I spoke to interview him for Elite Mentoring, and he's in a league of his own. The sort of things that he does is really powerful weapons to have in your arsenal. So he's joining us today to talk about some of his low money down deals and option deals and what it means. And by the end, you will be salivating, literally champing at the bit to get going at this sort of property gold. And it's all in the deal structure. So let's have a listen to what Andrew had to say about creative finance and using options to purchase property.
Hi, Andrew and Marilyn. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
So tell us a bit about your experience with options and how you came about it and the sort of deals that you've done.
Okay. I like options because it allows me to prolong the needing to pay money up front while I can then process DAs and get things organised, really using vendor finance over a timeline. So in other words, I don't have to pay any money, significant money up front to a client, other than the costs that I'm going to have to incur to actually get the DA through, et cetera, which is my capital investment. But I can actually take on a deal with the option and then have that revalued upon its completion, which gives me an uplift, which enables me to borrow more against the property. And essentially, I don't have to put as much money into the deal in cash up front. It also means too that if something doesn't go well with the DA or for some reason we hit a roadblock that's impassable, I'm not committed to have to purchase. I haven't gone down the track of saying, you know, I've bought this property, now I can't do anything with it. What am I going to do? So with that in play, we've been involved in options for about 5 or 6 years now, more than that. We started off doing a couple of options in Queensland, which was great. We did a small 25-lot subdivision in Murrumba Downs. I found 4 blocks of land that were all side by side, And I amalgamated, I negotiated and amalgamated all those four blocks with four separate options to correspond at the same time of their completion. And then went ahead, got the DA approved, settled those four options through some private funding, and then developed those blocks and sold them all off. That was really, really helpful. A lot of learning involved in that process, particularly in the process of getting a DA through and all the different government bodies and all the things you've got to do that, because we used a town planner, but essentially I did all the hack work for him. He just told me what he needed and I went away and got all the different consultants and engineers and everybody else involved, the architects, et cetera, involved. So that worked out a fairly good project. We didn't make as much money on it as we wanted to, because in the finance we had through general funding fell over 3 days before the project took off. We had to find vendor finance. Solicitor's finance, basically, to pull it over the line in 3 days, which was a little stressful. But it meant they took most of the profit, because the only way they'd come on board was they took a fair slab of the profit. But there was a couple of million dollars profit in it, which was very good. So from there, we got involved in
amalgamating. Could I just ask, guys, on that one, what was in it for the owners to agree, like four owners in a row? What did you give them to make them grant you an option?
Well, basically, the first place I went and saw, I knew that I found out that people were thinking of selling. And before they put it on the market with an agent, I went and saw them and I said, look, they knew what their property was worth, and I offered them almost double that. And I said, but time is money for me. So if you're wanting to wait 12 months on an option, I'll give you basically twice what it's worth on the property. And the figures still worked very well for me to be able to do that. So it was a bit of a win-win. So once I had them sorted and had them signed up, I then went to the neighbour and I said, look, I know you're enjoying being on this lovely big block of land, but unfortunately your neighbour is going to suddenly, we're going to subdivide that. It's going to be, you're going to have 20 neighbours on one fence line.
Right.
Do you really want to be here? Or would you like to sell to us as well?
And they were also going to be landlocked.
Yeah.
And they were going to be landlocked by the new development. So they came on board as well. Once again, we offered them considerable money over market price, but it still worked in our favour. And we did the same with the other two properties. So both, all four properties were basically one after the other, because neither of them wanted to be the only one left where they either couldn't get access to their property, or they thought, well, we might as well take the money and run now because it's a good deal. So that's where that went at the time.
In terms of your profit on that deal, what was that?
Our profit, the deal had a profit of about $2.1 million, but we end up keeping 20% and they gave 80% to the funder. Yeah, it was a bit painful. We kept 300 or 400 of it over time.
How long did that deal take?
The DA and construction took about 9 months. We had all the properties pre-sold before we started under contract, subject to titling, and it took about another 4 months basically to settle all the deals. So it would have been close to about 10 months, 10 or 11 months all up.
Still, not bad coin, a few $100,000, $300,000 to $400,000 for a few months' work. So you went back and did it again on another deal, another option deal?
We did. Went back and did it again, except we did a bit of a different deal with another guy in a bigger state than we were. I found a property in Queensland again that had it with an old bus terminal, and the guy's wanting to sell up and move on, and it had a whole large block of land with it in the middle of a suburban, was completely built right around him. And so I took out an option on that block. And then the guy that wanted to do the deal for me decided that it wasn't big enough for him. It was only 40 blocks of land.
And it
had to be rezoned out of light commercial into residential, etc. He said, oh, if I'm going to go through the trouble of rezoning it, I want more land. He says, if you can make it bigger, come back and talk to me. So over the next 3 weeks, I went and signed up 13 of their neighbours, all in a row, all the whole street, basically both sides, and made it into a subdivision of 450 blocks, basically. And so basically I signed over my options to him for a cash settlement at the other end. And then he went and did all the work. I didn't keep involved in that other than I was in the loop through the process of what he did. So I went and attended all the council meetings. I went and met with all the engineers, followed the process completely through, but it wasn't my funding that was doing it. So, and there was a good $500,000, over $500,000 in profit in that as well for us over the period of about 18 months.
So what's your secret sauce, guys? You're obviously not afraid to door knock. And what's your talk track, or do you listen more?
Look, I think the concept is that we approach people and say, you know, what do you need, rather than what you want, what do you need to have out of this deal to make it effective for you to think about selling it or moving it to us? And then just listening and trying to be creative in what they're requiring. So not everybody wants money. Some people want to be relocated to a different place, and so you can organise for a swap of properties, or some people just need to some time to get organised. Some people just need, you know, they want to sell their house and have a new camper van or a boat or whatever it might be. And so it's more a matter of just listening and then saying, well, let me go away, work out my numbers and see if I can get to where you want to be. And then when I come back, I'm always looking to offer more than what they've asked for. So if they ask something ridiculous to start with, well, it's not going to go anywhere. But if they're reasonably au fait with what the current market is and what's happening, I'm always wanting to go back and say, look, I've worked on this, I've done that. And so it's a win-win environment. What I'm proposing is we do this because the value for me is time, and time is worth money. So I'm happy to give you some more dollars, but you need to give me some time. I need 18 months, I need 2 years, whatever it might be, to do the DA. And most people are happy to chat. So initially, I do the homework through the databases that we have through Fast Properties or Price Finder or whatever it was. And I work out the properties that I want to door knock. And I nail that down through size, scale, how long it's been hasn't been on the market, the age of the clients contours that live there, contours, easements. I do all my homework so that before I knock on the door, I already know whether it's a deal or not. And I've got a pretty good idea how much I can offer them, although I'm not telling them that at the time. And I just knock on the door and I just say, look, hi, my name's Andrew. I'm a small developer. I think there's an opportunity where it'd be great to have a cup of tea and have a chat and talk about what we may be able to do with your property, if you're considering or have considered maybe liquidating it or moving or engineering or something. You may have never even thought about it, and I don't want to do it now. What I want to do is just organise a time with you sometime in a week or two where we can sit down and have a chat, and you can ask me any questions you like, and I'll do my best to answer them. Would that sound okay to you? How do you feel about it? And most people are really happy to have a cup of tea and chat. It's a very no pressure issue. And then obviously when I go back and sit down with them, that's what I'm asking you more about. Well, what would you need? Well, now what do you want? Not if you ask, what do you want? They all want $1 million. They all want $5 million. They all want something ridiculous. But if you ask them what they need, they're much more realistic in respect to, well, I really need this for my, you know, aging parents, and I really need this, or I really need that, whatever it might be. So I find that kind of language serves me very well in negotiating with them there from then on of what's going to happen. So, I also offered to pay any costs associated to the process on their behalf. So up front, if they would enter into an option agreement, I would offer them, some people just offer them $20 or $1,000, but I would offer them $4,000, for example, or $5,000 to cover all the legal costs, to cover their solicitor's costs and cover all that stuff. So for them, there's nothing out of pocket for them to then start this process over the next 18 months or whatever it might be.
When we're dealing with multiple neighbours, we generally have a set price per square meter of land that we're willing to go up to. So because neighbors talk, so you know, they go, oh well, what did you get for yours, or what did you get for yours? So we tended to have a
Once we've established the first price, that's got to be good for everybody the same. So it just comes down to literally a square meterage rate, and the value of the home that might be on it. So a lot of the properties that we try and buy are not vacant land. They're vacant land with a house or a house with a block, because often we can carve it off, sell the house back to the market quite quickly and recoup sometimes almost the whole investment, and the land's for nothing. So it just depends on, you know, how that works.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And you've got two deals currently under option. Let's talk about those for a moment. One's a pretty big one. Do you want to share that one? First of all, yeah, what's involved and how you got it?
Okay, the first one was a little bit by chance, but we were just looking for some property that we could subdivide. And we went out of our area, which we don't normally do, but we went to Colac, which is in Western Victoria. We found a block of land with a that didn't have a house, but it was immediately adjacent to an existing residential subdivision. And so we know that the rules of the council is that if you have an adjacent block that is basically not divided by a road, then precedent has been set that unless you are doing something adverse to their conditions and rules, they kind of have to abide by that to expand it. So we purchased a block, and then after that we've optioned the block next door as well, which gives us a bigger parcel of land to then develop into 26 lots on that block. And we were able to do a great deal with the vendor of the block we optioned, because they don't particularly want cash, because that's going to give them capital tax issues and inheritance issues and all that stuff. So they actually wanted some of the blocks of land, develop blocks of land rather than cash. So what it meant was that we could basically enter into the option to only pay a small amount of money for the block of land we're developing, and they will keep their house and three new blocks as part of the deal. So that means that our cash outlay is very minimal, but we have control over large parcel of land. So on that particular one, there's, like I said, there's 26 lots. We've purchased both the blocks for a total of 860,000 odd. But grossed up revenue after we've sold them is about 6.8 million. So winding that back with all the fees and so forth that we've done and so forth, it comes back with a net profit of basically 99%, which is 100% on our money basically. So the figures are very good on that. So for an $800,000 investment and a $2 million input into the capital needed to develop it, there's about a $3.5 million profit out the other end. So it's a good little deal. And interestingly enough, we were going to enter the process of getting it zoned, because it was in rural lifestyle zoning and it wasn't residential. And the council, who bought the block, they said to us that we weren't going to be able to do that because they were in the process of rezoning anyway, and it would take them 18 months to do it. So basically they told us to back off and just wait, and they would go through and spend all the money for us. So that was really nice. So they're going to spend all the money to get it rezoned for us. We'll get the benefit of the uplift because we bought it when it was a rural-based block. And then we'll just have to do our basic DA to get them developed rather than having to go through the zoning. So with that in mind, interestingly enough, the client was in no rush. So they allowed us to do a three-year option on the purchase, 18 months of it, which will expire while we're waiting for the rezoning from council. And then it'll leave us another 18 months to do our DA, get them all pre-sold and go through the process of developing the blocks. So that's kind of like just sitting there bubbling along, and time's doing its thing. In the short term, we're still getting involved with surveyors and engineers and so forth, and doing work in preparation for our DA, so that once these rezoning hits, we'll be ready to go and launch straight in to get our DA application into council.
The council has told us to do all the DA preparation and have it all set, so the minute they rezone, we can lodge our application.
So riddle me this, why wouldn't you go and option up a whole lot of other sites in Colac?
Well, that's what we're doing.
However, there is a, Daniel Andrews has brought in a windfall tax into Victoria. I don't know if you're a fay with it. And it means that any properties that are over 2 hectares.
Without a house.
No, even if they've got a house. You pay windfall tax. So therefore, the person who owns that property at that point when they redevelop the property and rezone it to residential, they have to actually pay a windfall tax upon sale of that house on the profit of the uplift. And it's 65% of the profit of the uplift. And even if you... So, for instance, as developers, if we go in and buy it at a rural price and then we do it as an option, then when we go to buy the property on the option, the poor owner has to pay the deeming residential uplift amount, even if they only get it at rural.
Okay. Is that from when it comes in or now?
No, it's already came in 1st of July.
Wow, they get you every way. Like, where's the incentive? They want
there isn't.
That's the problem, is that now there are exemptions. The exemptions is if it's less than 2 hectares and has a house on it, it's exempt. So what's happening is we're now looking for small parcels of land that are no more than 2 hectares with a house on, and we'll just do 5 or 6 of them in a row rather than going buying 20 acres or 20 hectares. So there's still great opportunity, there's still great potential, but we just don't want to be in a situation where we get hit with a 60% windfall tax on the uplift, or the person we're purchasing it off gets hit with that as well, because then they obviously make no money out of their sale.
We can't do that. Yeah, we just don't want to do that.
Absolutely. And the other deal you've got, the big one.
It's about the same size. There's two more. There's another one the same size as that, which is already in a place where it's already zoned residential. It's another 28 blocks as well, just around the corner from the other one in Colac. And once again, the purchase price of that is, we're estimating $2.5 million. It's got a $9 million grossed up resale value. It's got about a 63% net profit on that as well. So there's about $3.5 million out of that one as well. Net profit after all costs. So that's pretty cool. And then there's another one that I'm just in the process of trying to nail down. I've been working on for many months in Geelong, which is an old estate of a historical estate here in Geelong, which is a huge parcel of land. It's 22,000 metres right in the middle of suburbia. And it's currently owned by an NGO who has used it for rehab and as a retirement village, which is currently on there. But they're getting out of that sector, and so they're wanting to get rid of it. So I've made them an offer with as an option, and I'm just waiting for them to get back to me with the nitty-gritty. But if that comes off, then we have the potential that I've been meeting with an architect to build somewhere in the vicinity of 60 or 70 townhouses or units, or we're not sure yet. We're going to work out what council want. We've been and done a pre-lodgement meeting with council. They have no opposition to it. But because it comes under the Victorian Heritage Register, we've now got a meeting with them in a couple of weeks' time in Melbourne, to find out whether they're willing to allow us to develop the remainder of the block without touching the heritage part of the building that's currently there. So our expectation is that they're going to want us to upgrade and restore the existing building to its heritage standard. And also any development we do is going to have to be sympathetic towards heritage overlay. So it might be certain colours, certain designs and all that kind of stuff if we were to build on the block. But I'm not perturbed by that as long as we know that we can do it. That's it. On basic feasibility, that has about a $6.5 to $7 million profit out the other end as well. But it really is probably a 3-year project, maybe a bit longer depending on the construction side of it. Yeah, well, so that's pending as well, but we're in the process of finding final negotiations with that.
Wow. So, yeah, it's all happening, and all happening at once. You've got multi-millions of property under your control with very minimal outlay and potential massive multi-million upside in a matter of a few years. So that's the leverage, doing more with much, much less.
Yeah.
The second deal that Andrew talked about, they're an older couple, and it's been a 12-month process in talking to them before we've signed up anything. We kind of have an in-principle decision. They said to us, if we're going to sell, we're going to sell to you guys because we like you. But that's because Andrew spent the time going and sitting and having cups of tea.
I drank many cups of tea and listened to many stories.
Yes.
To find out what they really need.
Gone and looked at his cows, you know, and just not pressured him. So Andrew's had to massage that deal for over 12 months now to deal with what he needs and what he wants, because they're like old-time Victorian farmers and, you know, they're surrounded by development and you know, they haven't liked what they've seen from people, and their neighbours want to buy their house and they said they don't like them, so they don't want to sell to them, you know. So it's been a long process. We've just got to get them signed up, but it's coming.
That particular deal, but once we sign that up, that'll be very quick. Like we'll have a DA and ready to go within a couple of months. So it's probably the shortest term one that we've got, where the others are a bit more waiting on rezoning and stuff as well.
So would it be fair to say, from what you've said, that your secret sauce, not so much the property business, but you're in the people business, you're corralling multiple parties, people at council, you know, professionals and your team members, as well as sellers, and it's about your emotional intelligence, your talk track, and giving people what they want.
Yeah. We're in the people business for sure.
Yeah.
Property just happens to be the people.
And then also in doing developments, we've found that if you kind of wait for council that council always has 28 days to respond, right? And then they can wait 28 days and then they send you a letter and say, oh, we need this. So Andrew up in Queensland, to circumvent those 28 days, he would often ring up council and find out the actual project person that's looking after our thing, ring them up and say, did you get my letter or did you get that information? Is that all you need? Are you needing anything else? Can we provide you with something else? So we were cutting off those, you know, 14, 28 day waits between what council wanted.
I became the nice nag in the office. When I phoned up, they all went, oh no, I've got to get rid of this guy. At the end of the day, we got a DA through in 3.5 months, whereas most people told us it would take 9. So it's about, like you said, it's the people business, but about massaging and speaking to the right people at the right time and making sure it's not sitting on somebody's desk infinitum for weeks and weeks and weeks. Just a little bit of accountability goes a long way. So, most of the homework is done before I knock on the door. Knocking on the door is like just doing the deal, but finding the place, doing the due diligence, working out why they want to sell, finding out their age groups. Like we find, I just look for properties that haven't been sold before since 1980. So I already know that they've got to be in their 60s and 70s. Already know that they've got to be thinking about retirement. They've got to be thinking about what they're going to do next before I even knock on the door. I know their demographic. So things like that I find very helpful. So that when I'm knocking, you know, when I go to visit them, I already have a pretty good idea short of being a stalker, I have a pretty good idea of what where they are and what they do, what they drive, you know, what the lawns look like, you know, whether they've got lots of family and you know, all that kind of stuff.
We spend a lot of, we've been busy renovating, but we used to spend a lot of time just driving areas and seeing what was around and what it looked like. And so when we bought that block of land down in Colac, as we drove down to see that block of land, and we noticed that the second deal with the house and the big vacant land, and we went, well, let's door knock on that one and see, you know, what comes of it.
Yeah.
You know, and
at the end of the day, there's nothing lost in asking. What's the worst somebody can say? No. That's it. They're not going to beat me. They're not going to push me out. They're not going to set the dog against me, I don't think. So at the end of the day, it's just about asking good questions and asking what they need. And most people are really willing to share to a level that's quite amazing when you just take a little bit of interest in their world and they don't feel like they're a statistic. Feel like they actually feel like somebody who is that you're talking to them in a real way, and it has an amazing effect.
You told me earlier that you actually enjoy it. You love the talking to people and knocking on doors. You relish that.
Oh yeah, totally. It's a great opportunity to get out and about and do things and see people. And look, at the end of the day, I'll only do a deal if one, I can get money out of it. And I can bless them in the same breath. Like, I'm not interested in ripping the client off. I'm not interested in getting something that's going to, for some reason, they're going to look back later on and go, that guy ripped me off and da-da-da-da. So it's got to be a win-win. So for me, I enjoy the process of knocking on a door and seeing how I can help these people and seeing if I can make their world a little better simply by using a set of skills that they're unaware of. And so that really drives me a long way, that I'm not there to make a whole lot of money at their expense. I'm there to make a whole lot of money so we can both share in it and making sure that they feel like they are really being well looked after and blessed in the process. I've achieved my goal when that happens.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for sharing and thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
No worries.
If you like what Andrew had to say, and if you're really wanting to get serious about doing some deals and structuring them through options or other creative finance means, then you may be ready and up for our Zero to Hero challenge. We're holding that for an hour a day, every day next week. That's from the 7th to the 11th of August. We're going to look into how you find these deals, how you structure them, the legal paperwork to do it, your talk track and what it means for you and your exit strategy. So if that sounds like it could be for you, go to the link below, register for our Zero to Hero 5-day low and no money down challenge. And I'll see you on Monday, the 7th of August, when the challenge kicks off. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.